Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Show us the money.
Kaya Biz.
On the street.
On the air.
We're going through many more company results. One particular theme around all the businesses we focused on today, all proudly South African businesses with a rich history in terms of how they've industrialized, revolutionized, and actively participated in offering services to South African customers. The next business we focus on is Barloworld. Also, with a rich history of more than 100 years in the South African environment, has come out with its interim earnings. And this time around, seeing some of the growth specifically from its business called Ingrain, which largely focuses on primary ingredients that are used in the production of key foods that are manufactured in South Africa. But of course, slight pressures coming through from Russia and its equipment business in parts of Africa. To talk us through the numbers, though, we're joined by the Group Chief Executive of Barloworld, Mr. Dominic Suela. Always a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kuku.
Excited to speak to you about these numbers, which I guess is one that really reflects the environment that we're in, right? And the cyclical nature of the operations. Maybe let's start off more with equipment, just to get some perspective on how the various regions have performed.
I think equipment has performed to our expectation. I think we did give a guideline last year, November, to say, you know, we're going through a cyclical downturn, particularly on the mining side. So when you look at that business, machine sales is flat, but parts sales are down, and largely due to the coal mining customers who parked their fleet, largely because the coal prices is low. And I think there's also challenges on the iron ore side, whereas if you look at, copper and all those other minerals, they're up. So, and I think, that business basically performed to expectation. Mm-hmm. And we did last year also did take costs, cutting measures in anticipation of the cycle. So I think the business, did relatively well, given the current challenges.
Mm-hmm. That's true, especially given the guidance that was provided. Mongolia, however, did shoot the lights out in terms of continuing with its strong performance there, revenue increasing by 27%. So there's some resilience, or a lot more than that, growth within that particular market. Talk us through that dynamic.
Yeah, certainly there is. I mean, if you look at the commodity, that Mongolia drives is around gold, copper, and coal, and most of those commodities are destined to China, and because of close proximity. But if you look at the rate of growth in Mongolia, it is decelerating a little bit. And I guess, our view is that that business will continue in the second half to deliver at these very levels. But I think, depending on what the, global growth prospects look like next year, we could have a bit of headwinds, in that business.
Mm-hmm. Let's zone into Russia. And again, this is really has to do with exogenous factors beyond your control and that of the business, largely related to the conflict and challenges we see within that particular market and sanctions on Russia, essentially. Help us understand the challenges that you're experiencing with VT, but more so, just how much more runway is there available in order to ensure that the business remains self-funded?
Yeah, I think, on the latter part of self-funding, the business has got enough cash. We're sitting with close to about $143 million of cash, which is close to about 3 billion rand. So cash is the least of my problem in Russia. I think the guidance that I gave to the market at the start of the war, almost 3 years ago, was to say this could be a long haul, and it's proving that it is becoming a long haul. Mm-hmm. And in that environment, we said the first thing we'll do is to try and do our best to run the business the best way we know how. At worst, we'll break even. So where we currently are, we're not even at break even yet. We're still delivering, value. But I guess the challenge is going to be saying, given the breach in export control, we are no longer able to bring parts into territory. What you can only provide is really servicing, selling labor in that kind of business. And I don't think that we'll be necessarily able to cover all the costs. We think probably by the end of the calendar year, we could be running into sort of a grinding halt. So what we are doing is basically, letting people go. Fortunately, the market in Russia in terms of employment is robust. When you let somebody go in that market, they get easily absorbed. Whereas in Southern Africa, if you let somebody go and they're not likely to get a job. So I guess we are able to work that out with our employees. And with a view that we hope that geopolitical challenges would change. And initially when the year started, it looked like things would work out for the better in terms of the negotiations between Ukraine and Russia. But we remain hopeful in that situation.
100%. I'm intrigued by this, Dominic, because I guess for a lot of us who don't run multinational businesses like yours, we often look at these geopolitical crises and think, it will sort itself out. But the remnants of it continue to remain. COVID was a black swan event. Russia-Ukraine conflict, black swan event. Now we're dealing with the tariffs, another black swan event. And I can imagine the kind of complexities that it adds for yourself and your leadership team to navigate. For us as customers who are just seeing this on the end, help us contextualize how you, number one, look to navigate this environment now with the tariffs also as an issue and a concern, but the kind of agility that's required from a leadership point of view.
Yeah, I guess one of the key issues, Gugu, you know, firstly, what makes our business very interesting is the cyclicality. Mm-hmm. And given that, we said, you know, operating in emerging markets, you can get significant growth, but you can also get significant challenges. So it was very important when we applied for the distribution license with Caterpillar that we went for, you know, countries that are contiguous, you know, diverse in nature, you know, just in terms of physical location as well as commodity, you know. And then once you understood that, then you said, what are the levers that you can really pull in, you know, the volatile environment? Firstly, you got to sure that you've got a robust balance sheet. You know, you also have to make sure that from a cash point of view, you live below your means, you know, and you control your cash flow and preserve cash where you can. And cost containment. And one of the key issues for us is that I, as a CEO, can't run the business, you know, from the top. We needed to empower employees to understand the Kaizen principles of continuous improvement, with small improvements on a daily basis to eliminate waste, to ensure that we are able to be sustainable for the long term. And we find that we have been able to weather the storm, at least in my tenure. You know, in 2009, we were able to weather the financial crisis, you know. And, you know, when it came to the issues around, you know, COVID, you know, challenges in 2020, and now the geopolitical challenges. So I think I'm fairly comfortable, you know, on our side, that we have been able to weather those challenges, and we're likely to do so in the future.
100%. I do want us just briefly to talk about a business that I've had the opportunity to understand more about, which is your consumer industries business, Ingrain. And next time I look at a packet of sweets or any kind of food product, I look at it differently, because this is essentially where the gluten, the glucose and other raw ingredients are essentially from. How educate us as South Africans as to how this has really been a shift in your strategy that you took back in 2020, but is really beginning to bear fruit now.
I think, you know, we spoke about cyclicality. One of the key issues, Barloworld has got a history of having owned different businesses. And therefore, for us, it was not strange to go back there to say which of these businesses will be counter-cyclical, which of them will ensure continued cash generation. And this particular business, you know, represented all of those. You can actually see, even in this environment, we generated cash, you know, because there are certain inherent moats around that business, because it's the only business in Southern Africa that is able to produce starch. Mm-hmm. And you know, starch gets into many products, is a major ingredient into different products. So it creates a robustness. There's an element of it that sort of focuses or relies on consumer, you know, market, you know, but overall the business is very robust, you know, and you can see with the results, even when you got flat, you know, tons in the business, you're still able to deliver, you know, profitable growth in that business.
Got you. Dominic, as we do wrap up, we can anticipate, I guess, a lot more growth. But two pointers that I'm hoping that you can highlight for us as listeners. Number one, what can shareholders hold you accountable to in the short to medium term regarding the growth and strategy of the business? And secondly, I do understand that the potential buyout has been postponed. Is there any clarity in terms of deadlines and timeframes that might be implemented there going forward?
I don't think it has been postponed, according to the announcement that the company has made. What has actually happened, the scheme of arrangement has failed, and it was anticipated to fail. because, one major shareholder was opposed to the scheme purely based on price. And then obviously the other issues with other shareholders have been resolved. So the standby offer is currently in place, and the consortium is likely to give an indication in terms of the threshold, from about maybe 90% to lower. So, if the shareholders don't take that offer, it's likely that the company will remain listed with a major shareholder controlling the business.
100%. We'll leave it there for tonight, but truly appreciative of your time as always, sir, and looking forward to seeing more of the outcomes and the growth that will come from the entity.
Thank you so much.
Thank Cheers. You. Dominic Sewela is the group CEO of Barloworld. Do stay with us. It's 3 minutes after 7 o'clock. When we come back, we speak to the CEO of Pick n Pay, a leading retailer within the South African environment, which has been really on a very defensive strategy in terms of maintaining its lead in the South African environment. We'll talk numbers, talk about their strategy, and of course, what they do see in terms of customer trends and flows from a South African point of view. Stay with us. In a moment, we're going to speak to Sean Summers, the CEO of Pick n Pay.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.